Hey guys, welcome to episode 125 of Motherhood in Hollywood. Today, my guests are the two founders of Moms in Film, and I'm so happy that we connected and found each other because you guys are going to love everything they're doing. So here we go.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey everyone, I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. I am super excited because I've got the creators and founders of Moms in Film on the show today. They are advocates for parents in the entertainment industry and gender equality, and they're going to talk about that, how they are actively trying to create space and work with insiders in the entertainment industry to create more room and be more accommodating to moms and dads in the entertainment industry. So yay! We definitely need a lot more of that for sure. And so what's up? How are you? We're almost, we're on the countdown of Christmas, guys, 3 weeks away. And Sparkly Star, our little elf on the shelf, is already in the house today. And it's so funny to me. Every year I see people like, oh, this damn elf. And, you know, they're all mad about the elf. And like, this is stupid. And I'm like, listen, I have seen the magic firsthand of this little elf. And my daughter's eyes light up when she wakes up in the morning and is excited to see where the elf is. She knows the elf is watching her and is going to report to Santa. And that's a little extra tool in my mom tool bag that I can use. So I'm not mad at the elf. Like, I think we all just need to relax and stop hating on the elf. Like, some people do Christmas a certain way and some people don't. So you do you. If you're an elf family, you go. If you're not an elf family, that's fine. No judgment. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm already sort of feeling like a little overwhelmed with the holidays. I'm all, you know, we're still 3 weeks out. My mom is coming. Please say a prayer. My mom is coming into town to stay with us for the week of Christmas. I feel like I have a lot of shopping to do. I have a lot of photos to take. I have a lot of events to go to. And I, again, am having a hard time saying no. I'm getting better about it, though. But I'm finding that people get really pissed off when you say, no, I can't go to that. Or I'm not able to attend. Or I can't post about that or whatever. Like, people get really mad and they take it super personally. And I don't know what to do about that. Like, you never want someone to be mad at you or upset or think, you know, or think you're letting someone down in some way. But, you know, I'm just one person that does Motherhood in Hollywood, and I just physically cannot do everything. So this is a little PSA for everybody out there. Like, don't get mad. If somebody says no, they can't do something, like, don't take it personally. Just be like, all right, not at this time. Got it. We'll try again later. I don't know why that bugs me so much. Like, don't be mad. Okay, so I'm going to keep the mommy monologue short this week because I really want to share this interview with these ladies. And I think you guys are really going to love it. You're going to be super inspired by it. If you are inspired by Motherhood in Hollywood and you love the things and the interviews that I work very hard every week to bring to you guys, please take a minute and subscribe to the show if you don't already. And leave a review. If you've been a longtime listener, first-time reviewer, great. Please just take a second. Go to your iTunes app or wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a couple of words for me letting me know you like the show and that you are enjoying the interviews. It would mean the world to me. Thank you. All right, you guys. Here's my interview with the moms from Moms in Film. I love it when moms and entertainment can come together, and I could not be more excited about the ladies who are on my show today. I have got Mathilde Drotwa and Christy Lamb from Moms in Film. Hi, ladies.
Hey.
Hi.
So thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on the show. So I should let everybody know I've got one mom. Mathilde is on the East Coast in New York, and then
correct.
Christy is here in LA, right?
I live in LA.
So look at us, guys. We're like international. Aren't I? I mean, we're what does it say? We're intercontinental.
We actually are international because I'm from Belgium.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, see, there you go.
And because our sister organization, Raising Films, is in the UK, and we do a lot of work overseas as well.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I want to jump right in and I want to find out, first of all, how you guys know each other, because you're friends, right? I'm assuming.
That's a really good question. Okay, we now are friends. Yes. We were not friends when we began collaborating. We had never met, actually. And it was a good, what was it, Christy, 6 or 9 months in before we actually ever met in person. We met online around the topic. It all started when I wrote a blog post about my experience as a new mom in the industry. And it was a post that resonated and with a lot of people. And Christy was one of them. And Christy, being the powerhouse that she is, didn't just read the article and comment on it, but actually emailed me and said she wanted to get involved. And ever since, it's really been a two-person effort. So, you know, Moms in Film is bi-coastal, thanks to Christy, and it is what it is, thanks to Christy. And so, so it's been really fantastic to have another mom on another coast to work so closely with.
So, Christy, tell me then, what is Moms in Film?
So, Moms in Film is an organization that's dedicated to energizing the careers of parents in film and TV through funding, advocacy, and community. So we started as, like Mathilde said, meeting up. So Mathilde planned a meetup around Tribeca. And when I heard she was doing that, I was like, this is a meetup, this is a movement. I was like, let's do this. And I felt really drawn to, learning about other parent struggles because I was a new mother myself. When Mathilde and I started working together, my daughter was about 4 months old, maybe even less. And it basically has blossomed just by way of this labor of love, I like to refer it to it as, growing its own community and really taking on a life of its own. So through these meetups, we've been able to meet just like amazing women and men who have been doing a lot of legwork for years, trying to raise awareness about how challenging it is to stay in the industry as a woman, how parenthood contributes to that. What is balance? What is work-life balance? I mean, these are things we, kind of tumble around in our minds a lot, maybe before we even have children. And then like when it's on and you're like, help, where is my boat? I need a lifesaver, who else has already forged these waters and like can be some guidance. And so we've just learned so much from the people who have presented at our meetups and shown their work and contributed their thoughts and, collective energy around what has been done, what needs to be done, what we could put in place, how to activate that and how to be advocates in our field so that we just see more diversity, more and more diversity on screen, behind the camera. So it's something that has really resonated, obviously, right now. It's imperative that we're having this conversation and we're glad to be on the forefront of, just all that's happening in Hollywood and across the country for parents in any field. But like we like to say, we're moms in film because we're moms in film, but we're inclusive of all parents, all ethnicities, all backgrounds, all gender.
That's amazing.
We open it up to anybody from their experience who, calls themselves mother or father or who has, dependents who do so. And just really want to get some conversation going and be public and open about what those challenges are so we can offer support because we believe that productions can be done best, on set or at film festivals with the victories and the preparation. And we're like, if we can do this better, we can have those shining voices be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, that's one of the big reasons why I started Motherhood in Hollywood was because I was an actor.
Which I love. Thank you so much for this contribution as well. This is so fantastic.
Well, I started it purely selfishly because I didn't have any mom friends who were actors. A lot of my friends didn't have kids yet, and a lot of them still don't, because there is a fear that once you have kids, your career is over. Or that you won't work again, or quite frankly, just the day to day, you won't have time to go to auditions. There's not the help there that you need. Right. And these are things that I've sort of been learning about myself through, through Motherhood in Hollywood. And I so love what you guys are doing because we do need more resources and we do need more conversation to let women in this industry, and not just actors. My perspective. Yeah.
But it is interesting that you mention actors, because what we've come across in our research, and we've been talking a little bit to SAG-AFTRA, and what's really interesting is that that's a union, for example, where a lot of these issues are not raised, mm-hmm. because women need to play certain roles, right? So they're afraid of being public about being a mom because they don't want to just be cast as a mom, especially if they look a little bit younger, etc. Yep. They want to get pigeonholed into a certain type. But beyond that, I think what's really interesting about the time we're living in is that second wave feminists made a very conscious decision to leave motherhood off of their platform. And I understand the reasons why. They really needed to show that women were able to show up in the workplace exactly as men did, and that was important to what they were working on and what they were doing. However, this current generation, I think, has had enough and is saying women are not exactly the same as men. There are issues that affect women differently to men, especially around breastfeeding, around child rearing, etc.
Postpartum.
So we need to actually claim those things and explain why we're not being difficult. We're not liability. We're not asking for too much. We are simply explaining that we are mothers and that that is affecting us in the workplace.
Now, when you say you reach out to SAG-AFTRA, what was that like? What did you do? Did you contact them and say, hey, how can we get a conversation started with actors and the needs of performers who have children?
We were both the unions actually at this point. So that was one of the first ones that we were excited to talk to because of this forward-facing component that acting
right.
requires.
And so we're talking
childbearing is childbearing yeah. ages. It's also if you're just a woman of childbearing age. It's not even if you have children. And I feel like you see that a little bit more in the acting profession as well because it is appearance-based.
But it is interesting. One of the things that came up, not just in our conversations with the unions, but even in our meetups, there's a full spectrum of women, whether they're actors or whether they're working behind the scene. There's the one end of the spectrum where women are hiding that they are mothers, if they are, because they don't want that to be public. They don't want anyone to have any ammunition against them. They want to get hired, and they think that this will prevent them from getting hired on certain occasions. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are very public about it and who are demanding childcare at film festivals, demanding childcare on set, which is some of the stuff that we're working on, demanding shorter hours, which is another issue we're very passionate about. And so you have this full spectrum, and women fall and men fall at various places along that spectrum for very clear reasons. And part of what Moms in Film is doing is uniting all those women and saying, okay, who is in the position to leverage their power? We're seeing more and more A-listers come out and claim motherhood as an issue and become very passionate about it because they're in a position where they're able to. And then perhaps people that are starting out who feel a little bit more awkward about talking about it. And we're really trying to serve all of that spectrum and all of those women.
And not even just starting out, just maybe even below the line.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I would love to talk with you guys a little bit more about your own specific careers and career goals, because you're both very talented. Pardon me. I'm losing my voice a little bit. Something happened from our last conversation on Friday to today, and now my voice is like, I give up. No. But I would love to know, like, what are you guys doing in your career? Because I was reading that, you know, a little bit about you guys, aka stalking you online. but you're both very prolific filmmakers, and you're actively working and creating. And let's start with Mathilde. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing, what you're working on.
Sure. It's interesting. I actually just finished my first full-length play, which is not in film, but it is on the subject of being a new mother under Trump. And it follows the first year as a woman gives birth on election night, and it follows her first year as a mother alongside this year that we've had politically.
This
so as her life becomes increasingly chaotic, so does the world around her. And so that's a play that I'm really, really excited about. But as a filmmaker, I produce animation for good causes, and then I also create content myself. I started off as an actor, and very much along the time that I decided to have children, I took a step back from my acting career, and I became much more a writer and a director.
Oh wow, that's wonderful. And how are you enjoying that side of the entertainment industry?
I'm enjoying it very much. You know, I'm lucky in that I'm creating the level at which I'm working, and the sort of content that I'm making allows me a little bit more flexibility because I do get, as the director, to set the tone, mm-hmm. And to talk to the production team about having shorter hours, etc. So I consider myself very fortunate. However, I'm aware that as my career continues to grow, that actually I may not be as much in control and won't have as much flexibility. So, you know, it affects us all in different ways and different times. And it's very much, motherhood is very much part of the reason why I no longer act. So it's something I feel very passionate about.
And then Christy, what about you? Tell me the things that you're working on right now.
Well, right now I've had this awesome opportunity to start collaborating with one of our first meetup guest, Kirda Baruth, who's an accomplished producer, documentary producer. So we are on two projects right now that we've forged, one together out of our own brains, and then one we're working with a director who's been working on it for about 5 years. So those are yet to be even announced. We really kind of just started in there. And I just hopped off set of two feature films back to back.
Oh, wow.
I was working art department and I worked costume design. So I've been really hopping around a bunch on set for the last like 5 years or so, and then dabbled in documentary again right before I left New York. And that's kind of what set this off for me, because when I produced These Cock-Sucking Tears, pardon my French, that's really what it I went to South By, and then it won the jury award 2 years ago, and I wasn't able to be there because I had a 2-week-old baby. And that was largely what spurred my late-night readings and stumbling upon things like Mathilde's article while I was trying to decipher what the hell to do next, and also simultaneously realizing that, like, my acting want was coming back really strong as I was like having this baby. So everything has kind of shifted, turned on its head since having Parker in defined ways.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me how, as moms, whenever we are forced to pause for a second for motherhood, and we're sitting there during those late night breastfeeding sessions or, you know, whatever, our brains kind of find a way to get creative. And we start going, what can I do with this? Or, oh, I could do this. Or, you know, I've always wanted to do that.
It's the biggest creation you can do. And I'm like a super, like, I'm really a supporter of moms in general because, you know, I mean, I think that moms have a really tough go of it in this country, and we have to formulate our tribes on our own. And luckily in LA, I was welcomed into some really wonderful communities, and I've met some of the most amazing women I've ever met in my life since I've had my daughter. And I'm so fortunate for those introductions and for those relationships. And I'm just really excited to see where those will continue to take, you know, this new entree point that I'm finding within industry that I've been working in for about 13 years. So it's really exciting. It's exciting time.
I would love to know for you guys, what has been the biggest challenge since becoming a mom and working on set, or maybe the challenge is finding work. I would love to know what for you personally has been the biggest challenge, and what are other moms that you are working with? What are they saying is their challenges?
Well, one of my biggest challenges. Sorry?
Go ahead, Mathilde.
Oh, okay. One of my biggest challenges from the beginning has been childcare. Mm-hmm. And that's consistent regardless of whether or not I'm working. And actually, part of the reason it's a challenge is that I don't have a 9-to-5. There are times when I'm very available to be with my son, which is delightful, and time that I love spending with him. But it's also not time that I want to be spending money on a nanny or even some kind of daycare situation, because if I'm not working, I'm also not having money coming in. And then there are times when I'm working very long hours and I need more childcare than many people are perhaps accustomed to. And so finding solutions that are flexible, that allow for me to go from not needing anyone to needing a lot of people all the time, that's been a real challenge. And I think that it's one that's going to resonate with more and more people as we move towards more of a freelance landscape. So I think right now, the freelance nature of the work is very, is very much a factor in film, but it's also true for creatives and people with startups and all kinds of people, and that is the economy we're moving towards. So I think that finding flexible childcare solutions is going to be really, really important, and that's really what drove our WeWagon idea to create mobile childcare available on sets at film festivals, et cetera, so that when people are working, where people are working, there's childcare, and when they're not and where they're not having to commit and pay for it and be locked into some kind of daycare situation. So that's really been my greatest struggle. But I will say one of the successes I've had is that I have come up with some really collaborative solutions. So I do childcare swaps with other artists where there are days in the week when I'm not working where I watch my kid and their kid. And then there are days in the week when they're not working where they watch my kid and their kid. And it's free. So while it asks more of my time, it also frees up some of my time without having the really exorbitant cost, because we're seeing a little bit of a childcare crisis in America right now, where affordable, good quality childcare is very difficult to find.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I actually wrote an article, I think it was like either earlier this year or sometime last year, where I started compiling a list of last minute childcare options in LA, and was really shocked to find how few there really were. Yeah, WeWe Village is one, but WeWe Village just opened like in April or May of this year. And I mean, I'm like, what about before that? Where all of the, I mean, this is a town that surrounds the industry, a freelance style lifestyle industry. And I'm so shocked that there are not more options for drop-in childcare. And Christy, what about you? What's been some of the biggest challenges you're facing?
And I mean, there's this overarching thing called mom guilt. That's gonna be up at the top, I think. Just because, you know, I think it's really like having a child requires that you're more present than ever. Like being present is the name of the game, because 100% when you're with your child, 100% when you're at your job. And you really don't like have any time to not give that or want to not give that. But, you know, it can be challenging to give 100% to your job when you have a child, and vice versa. And so just making sure that like I have quality time in both of those arenas is helpful. Also, having a supportive partner has been really helpful in, you know, just sort of not being too hard on myself in that department. But it's challenging when, like, say, for example, my last set that I was on, I asked for a 10-hour day and nobody else did. There was a 12 hours normally, you know, and I wasn't my department head. And so I asked in my contract as part of my stipulation for a 10-hour day. Well, then I felt like crap when we went into overtime and I wasn't with my team, even though I wasn't the team lead, everyone was fine with it, you know, and I felt kind of crappy when I was leaving my daughter and she was having a fit, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, super torn in both directions. So that's a really real feeling. And I think that the biggest challenge, like more globally, rather than sort of my own internal dialogue, is that this infrastructure issue, that's the biggest challenge, going in and demanding a 10-hour day. And then when I talk to other moms and people on the show, they're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. Oh, why are we on 12 hours? Who made up this rule? You know, it starts to reverberate and people start thinking, maybe I should ask for that too, or, you know, like, what would that look like if we were all doing that? And maybe it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to pay in overtime what we could plan ahead for. but maybe not. Maybe they're not all thinking that way. I just like to hope. But I think that it should be a requirement, because that's a perfectly legitimate amount of time to get things done in well, so that people are operating at their highest ability, and things are being productive, which is something we don't always factor in. And yet the bottom line from business studies tells us that, you know, when people are working in spurts or working shorter hours or able to balance their family time with their work time and lead a more a life that has better well-being, that they're more productive overall. And we're just short-term thinking in the film world, and we're like, we'll just throw more money at it. And get it done in time. And you're like, sure. But then also that affects everyone personally. And like, you can't say that that doesn't then, you know, come home with them and affect other parts of their life. Like, this is something that is out of whack. And we've seen some very out of whack, you know, things happening out of this industry lately. And I feel like, you know, all of these things are tangled in this tumbleweed right now. But I'd like to, you know, really sort of like beef up this infrastructure in general for parents, because I think it would behoove many more people on the set, and would also just lend to just a more collaborative environment for people of wider backgrounds.
I think it's interesting because in a lot of other industries, it's an 8-hour workday is pretty standard. Like, that's just what you can expect to do in industries.
Maybe you're there for lunch too, and you're 8 or 9.
But it's just not, that's just not the case in the film and television industry. I mean, 10 to 12 hours is a standard workday. And that's pretty much, when you have little kids, that's their entire waking hours is like 12 hours, you know?
Yeah, 7 to 7.
So it is genuinely a struggle and a frustration for a lot of parents in this industry, because you want to spend time with your kids, but you also need to pay your bills and put food on the table, and then also pay for the exorbitant cost of living in New York and LA, or, you know, wherever you might be. So I've always been curious too as to why they can't, why can't we get stuff done in an 8-hour day on film sets or TV?
Yeah, we definitely can. It's just a matter of time before enough people make that a part of the fabric, you know, because they require it essentially. It's like, and unless we all continue to bend over backwards and do whatever every producer wants us to do, unless we make the demand for childcare on set over and over and over again, childcare at film festivals over and over again, people will listen when enough others are requesting this.
Comic-Con has childcare, which I thought was amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that until this past year. I was like, good for Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think that I think that it's not just for parents. Shorter hours will benefit everybody, right?
Yeah, so
We're seeing it affects people's relationships. It's all kinds of, you know, we call it family life, but it's not just your relationship with your children. You know, maintaining a relationship in this industry is really difficult because you're away from your partner for such a difficult amount of time, and it makes it very difficult to contribute to a healthy relationship in that way. And I think we're seeing that motherhood sits perfectly at the center of this Venn diagram that intersects sexism, ageism, and socioeconomic status. So, you know, if you're a mom, you're also likely to be in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, and we know that it's much more difficult for women above a certain age to get work in the industry, especially as an actor, but really across the board. Mm-hmm. We know that if you are able to afford a nanny, you have much more of a chance of maintaining a career in the industry once you have children. But if you're not, then you drop out, and coming back in is very difficult. So if you're a single mother, for example, how can you sustain a career with a child in the industry, especially if you're working below the line? So we're seeing this intersection of socioeconomics, motherhood, and age, and sexism, and how motherhood sort of is the perfect storm really for all of those things. However, it's not the only issue affecting those things. So we know that people are getting into car accidents driving home after 15-hour days, right? We know that it's unsafe. We know that it wouldn't just benefit parents, and definitely not just mothers. I think, you know, of course men want to be with their children too, or their spouses, or their aging parents, right? So how do we create a supportive industry rather than an industry that really beats you up? And I think what we're seeing with the sexual harassment and abuse and all of those allegations coming out is we're seeing that we've created a toxic environment. And what we need to do is get rid of the predators, but what we also need to do is create a nurturing environment. And how to do that is to have more women working. And one of the ways to have more women working in leadership positions is to create parent-friendly practices. So I really think, as Christy said earlier, that all of this is entangled together.
Yeah. And if you've worked on a set that's predominantly women, or the women are not in the minority below 10%, which is very normal. That is where we are for the most part across the board in every single role on set. And if you've worked in on a set where that's flipped completely, some sets are all women, and it, you know, that's one side of it. But if you work on something that's just maybe somewhere in the middle where it's a little more balanced, you start to feel that, you know, you start to see the differences in the environment, essentially, and the ways and means of getting this project produced become, like, just safer feeling in general. And
yes, there was this
something that I've heard other women say this before, too, and I think that across the board we should be trying to make everyone feel safe. We're working in an artistic medium. This is a vulnerable place to be.
And it is, and I think that there's this myth of the sort of the like tortured genius and this environment where you have to be willing to give up everything to work in film, right? And I don't think that, frankly, that what that happens then is that the only talent that gets recognized is the talent of those that are able to make those sacrifices.
Right.
So
making a choice to come back to your profession shouldn't mean that you're making a choice to then not be with your children at all. That's
and
not
it
what
doesn't
that's
mean that, exactly. And it doesn't mean you're not talented. And it doesn't mean, you know, if we're able to create a better environment to work in, actually, I think that more and more people's talent will become acknowledged and more voices will be heard, as opposed to the voices that are heard if you create an environment of you have to give everything up. It has to be a complete sacrifice, and you need to be here 15 hours a day. And, you know, we see Weinstein required of his assistants that they never turn off their phones, that they don't even take the subway in case they be unavailable for 15 minutes, that, you know, that those are completely illogical. They're not
demands.
Those demands are ridiculous,
yeah,
you know, not healthy. And so it's not just the awful things he did to women who he assaulted. It's also the awful conditions he created for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you guys are tackling some really amazing topics and subjects as far as for women, for men, for people, everybody in the entertainment industry. And right. I would love for you all to tell everybody how they can get involved with Moms in Film. I know you guys do meetups and you have Facebook groups and all that stuff. So tell me, what is the best way for someone to get involved with you?
Well, we're practically trying to apply all of these thoughts to our advocacy outreach. So we have some programs that are rolling out within the next 6 months where you'll be seeing more and more and more of us at festivals and on film sets. And in order to keep Best up to speed with all the meetups that we're having, not only in New York and LA now, but also in DC, San Francisco, Chicago. I mean, this is really an exciting time to be a member of Moms in Film, which does not require a monetary buy-in. We're free to anyone who wants to support us, parent or not. We, of course, will take tax-deductible donations. We're set up to do that on our website. And we have, like, various and sundry amazing causes that we're going to be putting that funding towards as we amp up our general operating and pull together just a more formal board, a more formal organization in the coming months. So it's an exciting time to keep posted on what we're doing. We're, of course, on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and you can find us there and on our website, momsandfilm.org. So,
awesome. Well, I'm also going to put up all of that information on motherhoodinhollywood.com and links to where people can find you guys. I think everything you're doing is so necessary and so wonderful, and I am so mad that it's taken me so long to get to realize I needed to
yes.
have you on my show.
I kept
like looking at your stuff. I was like, these ladies are great, and I was like, I wonder if they do my podcast. And then I was like, no, they're probably really busy and they wouldn't want to. And then I just finally, sometimes I get in my own way, and I finally was
yeah.
like, you know what, I'm just gonna message them and see if they're interested. And I'm just so thrilled that you guys took the time to talk with me. I think everything you're working on and working towards is really important for our industry.
It's perfect timing as we approach a new year. You know, we're really wanting to see this change and be this change and be a part of what is practically applying itself to the industry, where we want to work in these in this funding and advocacy and community realms to bolster and energize the careers of parents. And we're really excited for those parents to make themselves known and for spokesmamas and spokesdadas who want to come on board and advocate with us. Please feel free to reach out.
And please make sure you guys keep in touch with me as well. I'm always happy to help.
Oh, yay.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having us. This was so great.
Thank you. All right, everybody. I'm going to put up information on motherhoodinhollywood.com about moms in film. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye.
Bye.
Balls.